Well, welcome. We're glad to have you here with us as we celebrate this very special day. Our gospel reading for this day is, what do we call them? What Beatitudes, right? And there's another gospel that also shares the Beatitudes. Do you know where that's found? We have Luke. Which other gospel has the Beatitudes in it? Matthew, correct. Very good. But they're a little different, aren't they? Matthew has, they're a little bit longer. Luke's a little shorter. Matthew speaks more in a spiritual tone. Luke speaks more in a social justice tone. Okay? You might recall that Matthew says, blessed are the poor in spirit. What does Luke say? He says, blessed are the poor. He is very clear about who he is speaking to in his day and age. Luke, as you know, the writer, turns the world upside down every time we read it. It catches us off guard. And when we start seeing things that he writes, it sometimes causes us to pause and say, really? Is this what we're expected to do? But if you look at the things in which he speaks of as Jesus is proclaiming this message, it says he looks up to his disciples and he says to them, because he knows what they're going to be facing shortly after his death and resurrection. He knows that for them, life is about to get even tougher than what they think it is now. And so he is preparing them, even though at times it just doesn't settle in for them. So when Luke is speaking about blessed are the poor, blessed are those that hunger, all these individuals, blessed are those who grieve. These are individuals who struggle in life. They're as real as you and I. All these things that we too have experienced. Maybe we don't have to worry about the fact that we don't we have food on our table, but we certainly know people that exist that don't have food on the table. And so we do things such as we make the collection so that others can be able to eat. And what does it say then after that? It speaks of Luke does something a little differently where he then goes and says, woe to you. Woe to you whose bellies are full. Woe to you who are wealthy. Woe to you because you already have the things that satisfy you, but you do nothing with them. You hold on to them. You do not do what I, as Jesus, have shared with you what you are to do. In a way, these Beatitudes might want to make us feel a little uneasy. But that, again, is what the gospel does. It kind of shifts us. It moves us. Just as Jesus intended to move the disciples to a full understanding of what it means to be committed to him, to follow him. And so he gives them these words. But he also gives words of assurance in that. But the thing that really blows me away is that concluding reading that we had, and that is it says about love your enemies and pray for those. Don't go after those who take things from you. If they ask for your coat, give them your shirt also. I mean, those things are hard, and they don't seem fair. We want to protect what's ours. We want to hold on to it. But sometimes I think we try to hold on to too much. Maybe there are some things, you know, and I certainly have recognized that over the course of my lifetime and experiencing the loss of loved ones and with also parishioners who have to go back into their loved ones' homes and begin to clean things out. It's not always an easy task. After 12 years of marriage with Judy and I, we finally were able to sell her house just a week or two ago. For 12 years, we've held on to this house, and there's still stuff that was there, and it was overwhelming when we went back because we weren't there all that often. And thankfully, the person that bought it said, don't worry, I'll clean it out. Amen. Thank you, brother. So we kind of combed through things that we wanted, and we took those things out. But now I have a garage that is packed full of stuff that I can't put my car in. We have too much stuff. And I wondered, you know, even when I move my own stuff, it's like I'm hanging on to these things, and I've actually gotten rid of it over time. But I think as a people in society, particularly in our society, we are so used to abundance that it doesn't seem like much that we keep accumulating all these things and we stash it aside thinking we're going to get to it later on. I can't tell you how many pairs of pants that I have that are much thinner in waist than what I am right now. I keep saying, I'm going to lose weight and I'm going to fit into those. Isn't going to happen. But the point of what Luke is saying here is that we need to be aware of our surroundings. It's not just about me. It's not just about us as a community here at St. Luke's. It's about the whole world. It's about the fact that, as you know, when we lose someone, we support each other and we provide care and we help each other. We do what we can, but we also recognize that there is loss out there in the world every day. Children who have no parents, children who are separated from parents. We have people who struggle to just find some means to eat. Now, that's not to make us feel guilty, but it's to help us to know that as children of Christ, we are called to strive to do what we can to help those. And while it seems like an impossible task, it is entirely possible when the whole world wakes up to the fact that we need to take care of each other. And it has to start somewhere. And that's where it brings me to this day of All Saints. I think about those who I've known over my lifetime, those who I've never met that I've read about, you know, people like Luther and Dietrich Bonhoeffer, people like Mother Teresa, any individuals that you have admired or read about, and I just wonder what it would have been like to have met them. I'm sure there are some things that have become kind of mythic about them in the sense that we have built them up so much that that's not really who they are. Like George Washington chopping down a cherry tree and saying, I cannot tell a lie. I'm sure George Washington told a lie or two. But besides that, it's the idea of how these people have brought us to an understanding of caring for each other, how we have been taught to be responsible, how we have come to find our faith because of the witnesses of those that have gone before us. In my time with Judy, we've seen a lot of loss in our family, particularly recently. You know, it was, for me, it seems like yesterday, but it was 7 years ago on November 1st that I lost my dad. And that impacts me every day. For those who will say to you, you get over your grief, I don't think we ever get over it. We just learn how to cope with it. We learn how to deal with it. Because there are still things that will make me, I'll laugh, because I'll think of a story that my dad may have told or that he was involved in, or I will think of something that was extremely meaningful to me in my relationship with him, and that because I cannot call him when there is something that happens, it makes me sad. And I think of my sister-in-law who just recently passed away, and I think of others in the family who have passed away. I think of people in our family. And when I go down through the list of the 36 years of ministry of the people who I buried in my lifetime as their pastor, it's overwhelming. But each and every one of those have borne witness in one way or another to what it was to live in Christ. Not everybody, and no one is perfect. Everybody has their foibles. I'm sure I have some of my father's shortcomings as I have some of his strengths. Being a saint doesn't mean that we're perfect, but being a saint means that we are followers of Christ, that we have been baptized, and that we have been included in his family, not because of what we've done, but because God chooses to do that because he makes us his family. Not one of us earns that. It's a gift, and we celebrate it in the way in which we live our life out, and that we don't turn a blind eye from those that struggle around us because they are our family. And it doesn't matter the color of their skin, it doesn't matter their social status, it's just that they are family. If we were not celebrating All Saints today, the gospel reading the Sunday after Pentecost was the story about Zacchaeus. Remember him? You probably could sing the song, right? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Yeah. And he climbs up the sycamore tree, you know, right? And what's interesting about this story is that there is Zacchaeus. He's short in stature, and he can't see Jesus. So he climbs up on the tree, and he sees the world go by him. And there's a lot of times where I think you and I can find ourselves up in that tree because it's kind of safe up there in the sense that, you know, nobody may even know you're up there. And you're watching everything go by, and you can see all the good things and all the bad things in society. You can see the hurts and the pains, and you can see the laughter and the joy. And there is Zacchaeus. He's up there, and he sees Jesus, but Jesus also sees him and says, right? He says, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today, right? And so he goes, and what does Zacchaeus do? He says to him, if there's anybody that I've wronged, I will repay, and anybody that I've cheated, I will give back, because he was a tax collector, four times what I owe them. And by saying these things, Zacchaeus is recognizing his own relationship with the rest of the world and what it is that Christ expects of him. Zacchaeus, at one point, only was curious as to what Jesus was doing. And then suddenly, he finds himself invited into Jesus' life, and his life is turned around. He's no longer just an observer. He is now a participant. And that's what God does to you and I as well. By making us saints, we're not just here to observe the world go by, but we participate in it. And we can't avoid. We can't avoid the hurts and the pains. We try to shelter ourselves, but the reality is that we can't do that. It's a part of our life. It is a life cycle. Lion King sings about the circle of life. And there's truth to that. But there's also something that goes beyond that circle where it stops, because suddenly we find ourselves in a whole new realm, a promise of eternal life. And that's what keeps me going. That's what keeps me in the understanding that I know I will be there with my father and my sister-in-law, with my friends that have passed away, with parishioners that I have loved and missed dearly, and even those individuals that at times have been a thorn in my side. I will see them too. I believe that firmly. And that's why we celebrate this day. So for all those individuals that you recall in your life that have helped to shape and to mold you to who you are today because their path has crossed with yours, whose witness have helped you to come to know who God is even in a clearer way than what you knew before, we give thanks. We give thanks for God and all those things that we have been given. And even though it hurts, and even though there are tears of pain, those tears are also a tears of promise and the knowledge that we will be together again. So in a few moments, as we read the names of those who have joined the church triumphant, in the past 3 years here at St. Luke's, I would like to also invite you to write down a name or names of people that you would like to remember today. And when it comes time, we'll invite you to come forward, and Charlie and I will be up front here. And we have a little candle lighter. If you'd like to light a candle, we just ask that you light for whatever number of people, light one for whatever number. Otherwise, we would not have enough candles for all the people that we remember. But come and do that. Express your love for the gifts in which God has given you through these people. They have meant the world to you as they mean the world to me. And they also mean that God has brought us together as one people. We are the church triumphant and the church militant, come together here celebrating communion. We truly believe that our ancestors and our brothers and sisters are with us as we commune as well. That's why we call it communion. It's being together, not just us here, but with all Christians living and now in new life. May God bless us in our journey, and may we sing with whole hearts of the joy that we know of God's promise for us and the gift of eternal life and the reunion we are all looking forward to being a part of. In Jesus' name, amen.